Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. I'm delighted to have back as a guest for the seventh time today, Mr. Michael Conley. We'll be discussing Nine Dragons, Mr. Conley's newest novel published by Little Brown. First of all, Michael, thank you so much for taking time out of a busy schedule to come over and visit us today.
Oh, it's always good to be back on your show. Thanks.
Michael, with Nine Dragons, where you've returned to Harry Bosch, but this seems to me to have a bit of a different flavor than some of the Harry Bosch novels. This one, the pace and the intensity of the writing and the time frame that it takes place in, are you create a tremendous amount of momentum and pace in this book. And when you set out to write this, was that something intentional that you had in mind, or as the story unfolded, did it just come out that way?
No, it was probably more so than other recent books, long planning or long time in coming. It was a story I planted seeds for several years ago, several books ago. So it's a book that I've been kind of, I say, carrying around my back pocket. That means I've been thinking about it, planning for it, and getting ready to write it. And so that, when I do a book like that that's several years in the making, it usually comes off in the writing process. I don't know, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or something, but it comes off more like a well-oiled machine. Like I know what I'm doing more so than other books where I kind of sit down and hope it will happen and have a general idea where I'm going. This was a book, even though I didn't commit anything to paper, I knew a lot about what I wanted to do with the book.
And in the first chapter, Harry Bosch is a man of, I think it's safe to say, he's a fairly obsessive man, and he is ready to work a new case. And his partner, Ignacio Farias, is beginning to slip, starting to go home a little early and everything. And early on, you kind of set up, there's some friction there between the partners. And as the plot unfolds, that becomes important. And you mentioned earlier that you don't do a lot of outlining. And so when you started out with the fresh kill that Harry finally gets, and they go to Fortune Liquors, bring us up to date, or tell us a little bit about the history of Fortune Liquors and where Harry had experienced this before.
Well, one of the things I like to do in my books is connect them all. Yeah, each story can stand by itself. You don't have to read my books in any particular order. I never say to someone, go back and read my first book if you want to read about Harry Bosch. You can pick up this series, anywhere you want, in my view. But at the same time, there are connections. And one of the fulfilling things that I get to do as a writer is connect my stories. And I think that translates to the reading experience, that people will have these like little aha moments when they come across a character or something that's like an echo from a previous story. And there was a book I wrote about, I think it was 10 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, called Angel's Flight. It's a Harry Bosch story. And in that, he, at the very end of that book, he's caught in the middle of a riot in Los Angeles. And he seeks refuge in a little convenience store. And Harry is, in this book, happens to be going through the throes of quitting smoking and other addictive things in his life. And but he's in such an extreme circumstance that the first thing he can think of is, I need a smoke. And he goes into this convenience store, and it's been looted, and there's no cigarettes. But the guy who owns the store gives him his last cigarette. So it's a moment of human kindness that touches Harry in the middle of this very surrealistic situation where the area around is on fire and looting and rioting and all these things. And at the same time, the name of the store is called Fortune Liquors, and with every matchbook comes a fortune, and he opens a matchbook and it says, happy is the man who finds refuge in himself. And that really becomes kind of the motto for Harry's life in the series since then. And so it has significance, this moment of human kindness and this message on how to live your life all come to him under this extreme situation. And so in this new book, 10, 12 years later, that man who gave him that cigarette and that fortune, of which he's been able to model a bit of his life, is ends up dead in a robbery, or what appears to be a robbery. And so Harry doesn't really know him. He spent a couple minutes with him 12 years before, but it is significant to him, and it gives him the personal connection to this case that ignites his fire. One of the things that's in all my books is what's good about Harry Bosch as a detective is that he can find the points where he can make the stories personal. Not the stories, the cases personal. He has to have that in order to be relentless in pursuing the bad guys, pursuing the truth.
And the owner of the liquor store is being approached. He's being kind of extorted. And you use some of the technology that is used is very experimental. And I'm wondering, when you're doing your research, do you have contacts of people that kind of bring you up to date on certain types of technology that are being used?
I know writers who love the preparation, who love to do research, and that's where they're in their own element and they enjoy doing it. Me, where I'm in my element is when I'm writing. I like to be writing. And so for me, research is very necessary, but not what I enjoy the most. And so I've reached this point where I have some friends slash associates, I guess you'd call, who do research for me. And I have a private detective. I live over here in Tampa. And there's a private detective I know in Milwaukee who's really good on the internet, and he does research for me. Somebody I see maybe once a year. It's a weird relationship. But I'll say to him, you know, go out on the internet and find me some kind of newfangled crime detection thing that might be interesting to put in a book. And he'll start shooting me links to stories about this or that or whatever. And every now and then he sends me one that really hits, that I know I can use. And so that's what happened. In this book, it kind of flew across my screen on the internet, on an email message, and I checked it out and found some stuff through my friend in Milwaukee that I ended up using. And if I can get around research, I do. If I can get someone to do it for me and I have more time to sit at my laptop and compose my stories, then that's what I do. When moving to the areas of technology, more often than not, that's how I go.
Then if you would tell us a bit about the turning point in Nine Dragons, where an event occurs which necessitates Harry leaving Los Angeles and going over to Hong Kong.
Well, this is, I've been very fortunate in that I've been able to write about Harry Bosch several times. I believe this is the 15th Harry Bosch appearance. And you get to realize that if you've been given this gift of longevity with your character, and you're going to get a chance to write about him several times, that you can, every now and then, maybe only one time, you got to be sparing with it, but you can take him out of his comfort zone and do what's known as the fish out of water story. And it's a two-sided coin. It's you're taking your character out of his comfort zone and taking him to a new city or someplace he's never been, but you're also taking the reader. So there is a risk involved, and you have to be careful in doing this. You can't do it every other book. And I've never really done the real fish out of water story. I've had Harry travel from Los Angeles to Las Vegas and the Mexican border and things like that, but these are all part of that whole Los Angeles social, cultural zone. So I don't think those are fish out of water stories. So I really want to do a realistic one. And for a number of years, I by virtue of what I do, and I go on book tours, I've been able to go to a lot of different cities in the world. I was looking for the city where I would send Harry, and I was looking for something that's exotic, something that has a place that has an edge, has this feeling that anything can happen. Good or bad, that momentum can suddenly switch. And of course, you know, there's many cities that probably meet that that list. But it wasn't until I got to Hong Kong about 6 years ago that I just instinctively felt this is where I should send Harry. And so in the books I wrote 6 years ago, and since I've made references to his daughter who lives with his ex-wife living in Hong Kong because of his ex-wife's job. And so I planted the seeds way back 6 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago in the books. The last book he was in, he was communicating with her, trying to figure out the time difference and when he can talk to her and things like that. So this was all to set up this book. And so what happens in Nine Dragons is Harry's in L.A. working a case, the murder of Mr. Lee, who is a Chinese immigrant, and he gets word from Hong Kong that his daughter is missing. And like any parent, he drops everything to go to Hong Kong to find out where she is. And with the question, does this in Hong Kong have anything to do with this in Los Angeles? Because I'm investigating the murder of a Chinese immigrant, and the murder, the evidence and so forth is indicating connections to Hong Kong. So he kind of jumps on a plane as soon as he can. He gets the word about his daughter, and about 5 hours later he's on a plane. And he doesn't really know what's going on. He doesn't know whether they're mutually exclusive or something is happening with his daughter that's directly related to his work.
And the interplay between the time zone difference between Hong Kong and Los Angeles becomes very important. And Harry has developed great friends in the LAPD, and they become critical to helping him. Once they realize what's happened, they understand the magnitude, and they begin to help him. And some of the technology that Mr. Connolly uses in this, it's really fascinating to see what they can do with technology. But he calls in some favors, and he has them racked up because of the relentless nature with which he pursues things.
Yeah, I mean, the technology, and the things I use in this, there's some video technology and there's some crime scene technology. It's all interesting and pretty fantastic if you can drop it into a book, but it's ultimately window dressing on a character story. And, I think this is probably either the first or second most important book in the series because of what it reveals about Harry. There's a passage in the book right before he heads off to Hong Kong that I think really sums it up. This series is about a guy who has had a difficult life, and whether it's he's right or not, he feels he's been put on the earth with a mission, and he has a skill. He can take evil out of the world. He has a skill in chasing the worst kind of people, those who take other people's lives. And he has felt that to be able to accomplish this mission, he has to be bulletproof. He has to be invulnerable. He can't be gotten to. And the only way he can carry out the mission in relentless fashion is that if he's can't be gotten to. And, I changed that on the poor guy several books ago when he found out he had a daughter. And all in that moment, a book called Lost Light, which might be the other most important book in the series, he finds out he has a daughter, and that means there's somebody in this world that depends on him in some way. And that there's somebody in this world through which he can be gotten to. And so then you jump to Nine Dragons, and this is the book where they get to Harry Bosch.
And Harry, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, that kind of, I went off on a tangent there, but to bring it back around, that supersedes all this technology.
Yes.
And all the stuff that I, as I say, is window dressing. It's really about where Harry has, where he is in his life, his relationship with his daughter, and that very basic primal thing about being a father, about what you would do to protect your child.
Once Harry gets to Hong Kong, Harry doesn't really like to depend on other people. And when he gets there, because of the nature of the society there, he has to make some decisions along the way as to if he's going to trust certain people to try to accomplish his goal, which is a challenge for Harry. And it seems to me part of the theme of this book, too, is Harry starting to realize that he cannot do everything himself, and that's a very difficult thing for him to do, particularly when he's in pursuit. When he flies in to see Kowloon and he realizes the enormity of the challenge that he has, he has to depend on a couple people to help him.
Yeah, the Hong Kong is a huge place. It's vertical as well as horizontal, just a big, crowded place. And Harry is a guy who trusts no one but himself, even if he's in Los Angeles, to be honest about it. That's just the way he is. And he gets to Hong Kong, and they go up to this place called Victoria Peak, which is a big overview of the city. And I think the enormity of his task hits him. He thinks at one moment there was a billion lights out there, and one of them was his daughter's, and he was going to find that light. And, you know, so it's a classic needle in the haystack, and he's smart enough and desperate enough to realize, I can't do it by myself. And so he has his ex-wife there and her new partner, or, you know, romantic partner, and he realizes that it's not the best situation, but he needs them, and they have to stick together if they're going to find the one person they have in common who they all love, and that's the daughter.
And Michael, when you're doing the research about the scenes in Hong Kong, I know you're meticulous about your attention to detail. Did you make two trips to Hong Kong, was it? And what did you hope to accomplish the first time you went? And then what did you hope to accomplish the second time you went? Were you further along in the writing when you went the second time? Just wanted to make sure you got all the details right.
Well, I only went twice. And because I was writing a fish out of water story, I didn't feel like I had to go there a lot, because I didn't need to know Hong Kong that well, because Harry wouldn't either. And Harry would, in many ways, kind of blunder his way across or bully his way across the city. It would be kind of like, you know, make your move and ask questions later. So I didn't feel like I had to master Hong Kong in the way that I feel I have to master Los Angeles when I write about Harry in Los Angeles. So the first time I went was just to get a general lay of the land and to make the decision, is this where I want to eventually set the book? And, you know, so the answer was yes. So I took a lot of video and still photography and some notes. And then I went back, and then I didn't go back till it was time to write the book, which was like almost 5 years later, 4 years later. And so what I decided to do, and this was all in my head, I wasn't writing things down, but I decided it would be best to make the trip or the section of the book that's in Hong Kong quick, not only in terms of the reading experience, but in actual chronological time. I wanted Harry to only spend a day in Hong Kong as he tries to find his daughter. And as it turns out, things work out well. Like, if you're flying to Hong Kong from Los Angeles, you leave at night, you lose a day in the air, and you land very early in the morning, 5:30, 6 a.m. in the morning. And so I could use that. He would get there at the break of dawn, and then he would move like a bullet through the city, through the day, until he found his daughter. And so the second time, so I had this all in my mind, and I had some general ideas of where the trajectory of that bullet would take him from my previous trip. So when I went back the second time, I just kind of recreated the trail that he would follow, and I took notes and video and cameras, and I spent time, much more time in each of these places than he would, just to observe and get a feel for it. So hopefully I could describe it, even if it would only be in a superficial manner, as Harry is, you know, speeding through that area. And so that's what I did. So my second trip, I followed the trail, and then I went back to, I started writing while I was in Hong Kong. I started writing the book and then went back to my home and continued writing the book from there.
And we, as longtime listeners of the show know, we never give anything away. But Harry Bosch is a well-loved character, and you present some challenges with in Nine Dragons with Harry. And when you do these kinds of things, Michael, do you do it? Does it keep the character fresh for you as a writer? Do you put some, or these things that just naturally, organically evolve with you as you're going, or you say to yourself, this could change the arc of the next three or four books with what I'm doing, not just necessarily this one. Do you think that far ahead when you're writing the books?
I do now. I mean, in the early part of my career, I felt that I didn't. It's like you get invited to a party when you're getting a book published, and it's like at one point you're, oh, I can't believe I'm on the list. They invited me to this party, and you want to stay at the party. And so I felt that I had to put everything I knew about Harry into every book, and I couldn't really be thinking about the future. I couldn't waste any good stuff on a future book. And then, you know, I had some reasonable success with the series, and I got to a level of confidence where I knew, hey, they're going to let me write a few more of these no matter what happens. If the books tank or the critics hate the books, I think I got three or four before they pull the rug out from underneath me. And so when you have that kind of future trajectory and your confidence is going to be there, you start thinking about what you do in the future and you start planting seeds. And just, and that was like, you know, when I wrote the book where he had a daughter, I knew I was planting a story like Nine Dragons, or planting the seed for it. So yeah, you think about that a lot, and a lot happens in this book. It's, as I mentioned before, how I think it's important. It's important on a lot of levels, not only on the character journey of Harry Bosch or the character arc, but also for me in planning future stories. And from this book, in this book, I say goodbye to some things, some characters that have been in other books don't make it further than this book, and those are very difficult decisions to make. But I also set up, I think, some exciting stuff in the future in terms of Harry's relationship with his daughter and a few other things. So it's hard to talk about it without giving stuff away. So, but just in general terms, this book, I think, is a kind of a watershed moment in the series, because I think it turns the series in a new direction and I think gives it some life for at least a few more books.
And for longtime readers, Mickey Haller makes an appearance, Jack McAvoy makes an appearance, and I think your readers really enjoy touching base with the characters from the other books in your books without them necessarily having to be front and center, and the way Mickey comes into this one is really great.
Well, thanks. I mean, you know, I write like a reader. I know from my own reading experiences what I like, you know, what I like to see, and those kind of moments where someone turns up from another series or another book, and it's always a kind of a welcoming thing. So I love to do that as a writer. And so if I can do that, if I can bring in a name or a character, I certainly will do that. I don't do it superficially. I don't do it for, you know, fluff reasons.
Right.
For example, you mentioned Mickey Haller. He's in this book for only one chapter, but it is a pivotal chapter, and he provides something in the story that is really important. So it was great to be able to, you know, when I get to that point in the writing process, it's like, okay, do I make up a new character? Do I have Harry Bosch hire a lawyer that we haven't seen yet? Or do I go to a lawyer that I know Harry knows, that he has a blood relationship with, and that I already feel is a very interesting character? So it's kind of like a no-brainer choice. I had to bring Mickey in, even though it's a, you know, just a cameo appearance.
Michael, now that Nine Dragons is done, it's it'll be in bookstores next week. As a novelist and as a writer, you write different characters, different types of some standalone novels that don't involve Harry Bosch or Mickey Haller. What are you happiest about with Nine Dragons now that you finally put it to bed and readers are going to be reading it now? As a writer, what are you happiest about with this novel?
Probably similar to what we were just talking about, the idea that there is sustained life after this book. I made a decision way back when, I started writing my first book that had Harry Bosch about 1989, so 20 years ago. I started writing about this character. The first book wasn't published in 92, but I've been living with the character for 20 years. And in those early days, I made some significant choices. You know, any writer will decide, is this a character that if I get to write more, will he evolve, or will he always be 40 years old and always be in 1989 Los Angeles? Or do you use the writing experience in the books to evolve some kind of reflection of how the world's changing? And I decided to do the latter. I guess because I came to this from being a newspaper reporter, I wanted the books to be an opportunity to say something about what's going on in the world. Yes, they're puzzles and entertainments and thrillers and page turners, and those are all key elements of a book, but there's also the opportunity to have a little bit of social reflection in the books, and that's what I decided to do. And so in deciding that, I made Harry age in real time. And little did I know that he would be popular enough that I'd still be writing about him 20 years later. And so here I am. But Harry's been aging in real time, and I've known the reality is that he's getting to the point that it will not be realistic that he would be a guy carrying a badge and solving murders for the LAPD. You just don't do that till you're 70 years old.
Right.
And this year he's 59. So I've known for a long time I was heading towards a glass ceiling or whatever you want to call it. The series was going to run out. And then I could do all kinds. It doesn't mean you'd never see Harry again. I could go back in time. I could make him retired and do something with him or whatever. There's other opportunities, but the idea of Harry carrying a badge and working in real times and real Los Angeles, I saw as something that was coming to a close. And with this book, with the things that happened in this book, I kind of felt that shroud coming down on me disappeared, because I think this book really sets up some interesting stuff for Harry and his daughter.
Good. Well, Michael, thank you for your generous amount of time today. My guest today has been Michael Connelly. We've been discussing Nine Dragons, which will currently be available in bookstores. I highly recommend it. And Michael, congratulations on the success. Good luck on your tour, and we'll catch up with you again when the next book comes out.
Thanks.